Let's go ahead and take our seats and we'll come back to order. We just came out of executive session after discussion. So this brings us to item eight, new business, and item E is a presentation and consideration and approval of 6 months July to December budget. And that doesn't have a motion at this time.
Yeah, it does. It's on page three.
What is it?
Mr. Lynn has it.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I move to approve the Southeast Alaska Power Agency July to December 2019 operating budget in the amount of $3,499,030 and July to December 2019 non-operational cost totaling $759,960.
Is there a second?
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. Craig.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everybody. I won't go over my memo, but I did just kind of give you a high-level look. I kind of ran down every single FERC code and gave you a snapshot of that. Talked about R&R a bit. And where we're at on that as well. The six-month budget, as far as, and I'll go through every individual FERC code when I go through the budget, and we'll stop anywhere anybody has a question and answer anything that we can. So just to round things out here before I get rolling, and there's just a couple of important things that I want to make sure that are captured here. And with regard to R&R, the budget that we're proposing does not include our levelized annual payment into the R&R. We simply don't have the funds to do that right now. And my recommendation with regard to that payment is that we revisit that issue when we come to the full year budget that we'll look at in December. I think hopefully we'll have maybe a little bit firmer indication where we're headed with revenues at that time. Obviously we still have the rate stabilization fund and $2 million in that we can utilize and apply to that. You guys will see a little later, we'll go through every R&R project as well. And we currently have enough in our R&R reserves to cover planned projects for this year. So I just wanted to point that out. It's an important thing. It's one of the first times we've done that we've forgone that payment. And it's not something that's sustainable. And I'm just recommending that we temporarily defer that till the next 6 months when we meet again in December.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Lisa.
Do you want to wait until we get to the R&R to talk about what, I know it's in here, but what the amount in reserves currently is and what you're planning to draw in this 6 months? Do you want to wait until we get
sure. to Sure, yeah. And like I say, if you got questions along the way, we'll stop and delve into the details on any of that. And I got to compliment Kay. She spent a lot of time on putting the budget together this year. There's a obviously we've changed the format just a little bit, hopefully made it simpler for the board to look at and see some of the comparisons. We also had, we're right in the middle of this bond transaction, so there's some nuances to that I know Kay has spent a lot of time just trying to get to the numbers because we couldn't get the final documents from that, from the bond closing yet. So there's been a lot of work behind the scenes, and just wanted to recognize Kay for her work on that. See if I got anything else. So we'll get into project feasibility and also some other discussions as we go through here. So if everybody's ready, I'll just start cruising through here, and I'll stop periodically and stop me anytime. I'll start with the first page. It's page three in the draft budget. And that's just the overview of the summary sheet. And that's You know, it's, most everything's captured here, for the most part, on the big numbers. The, you'll notice in the budget breakdown, we have Swan Lake, Tyee Lake, and we now have an individual column for transmission lines, and then general and admin expense. We did provide a forecast for FY19 on the very far left column at the bottom on where we think we're going to end up this year, comparative to the budget. And then also you can see where we're anticipating on, I'll say, the July through December 19 budget column. You can see down at the bottom, the budget that we're proposing is a positive budget, it's just about even. So, moving into power sales. We've got a spreadsheet there on how those were come about. And so the 2019 sales budget from July 1 through December 31st was developed by using a 5-year average of Petersburg and Wrangell loads and the forecasted output available at Swan Lake. You know, we've made the assumption of no sales over the STI. You know, we may end up adjusting that as stuff goes on, but that's where we're at right now. And using the 2018 inflow case, Swan Lake's forecast outputs on average would be about 4 megawatts or less until sometime in October or November to maintain the lake between elevations 2280 and 300. So not expecting a big change to that. We also added in a little pole attachment revenue that we anticipate recovering. And I think it's, we still have some pole attachment issues up here on the north end that we have to freshen up some of those agreements. I don't think that will necessarily affect this 6-month budget, maybe a little bit, but nothing significant. And as part of the transition with documents with KPU and such, that there's a pole attachment agreement in there as well. So I don't think you guys, if you guys have any questions on how we came about with the sales estimates, maybe direct you to page 6. That kind of gives you the overview of where we think we're going to end up after 6 months, obviously significantly below historical values. Pretty straightforward, though, on our estimates for revenue. Any questions on that so far? Okay, so let's bounce into, we'll just go through FERC code by FERC code. For those that may not be familiar with how the budget's laid out, we usually have a blue box down at the bottom that highlights just any big changes that were in there or significant call-outs. So pretty straightforward. And I'll say this year, as with the last couple years, we've really tried to, I'll say, synchronize FERC descriptions across the projects, so to have them a little bit more consistent. And this year we've continued with that effort. So FERC code 535, hydro ops supervision. And we do have one larger, I'll say one-time expense item there with a MAPCON FIST standard and critical spare list development that's scheduled to be performed out at Swan Lake. Those were some of the deficiencies that were noted during our audit out there. So we've got a plan in place to keep that moving forward and get those in line. Let's see. I think that's about it as far as large notable items there. Any questions on 535? Okay, moving to 537. This one's pretty straight up. Snow surveys typically will happen after the first of the year, so there's no monies allocated in this section. Those will show up in the next budget. 538, electrical expense. We are planning a generator winding test at TAI in FY20, so that'll show up a little bit later. And we've got one scheduled at Swan Lake, you see on here. Any questions on 538? Okay. 539 covers a couple of pages here, is kind of intentionally left blank there at the bottom of the first page. And we expect, you know, we've got some safety training programs that we're trying to bolster those up. We identified some gaps and to continue on with that. Obviously, have been doing a fair amount of work on our communications, and that's reflected in here as well. We've got a when we try to move this new system over to TAI, we're going to run the existing system with the new system in parallel for a period of time to ensure that we maintain reliability out there. So there'll be a little extra cost for overlap there during that period. And we'll also be doing some training for our folks on the MAPCON system, which is our work management system. So the folks at the plants can play a more active role on administering that, which is essentially a work order system. You put the stuff in, you put comments in, you generate new work orders, corrective and preventative. And I think, you know, flights, obviously, that's an area that we mentioned that we can anticipate flight costs are, you know, they continue to go up. That's a given, I think, in some ways. Any questions on 539? Okay, moving right along. We, on 540, this one's fairly straight up, mostly required FERC fees and land use fees. We did put a little bit of money in here in anticipation of a potential land use fee for the STI when we get that finalized, the right of way. 540, moving on. 541. Hydropower station maintenance. So one thing I'll mention just overall with the budget, as you'll note, you know, some areas are a lot lower than they typically are. Some are a little bit higher, and that just has to do with where some of that stuff is landing within the particular six-month period that we're doing. Some of it will be occurs in the spring, some of it occurs in the fall, and that's accountable for several of the things in here. This one's fairly straight up, 541. Just we've, you know, lowered some of the tool expenditures and some things like that. Periodically, you have to you know, resupply some of your tools, and then there's just your you know, you'll have some things that, man, you know, frankly, just get worn out over time. All right, 543, dams, reservoirs, and waterways. This one's obviously significantly lower than last year, and that's primarily due to the ROV inspections that we had done. And we also have the USGS annual stream gauge contract has been moved to regulatory expense, which is just 928, to kind of fall a little bit more in line with that particular category. So that one's significantly less.
So we had planned on ROVs this year and didn't do it, or
we performed two over the last year. We did bolt one of the TAI tunnel. We went down through the intake and swam down the tunnel, the rock tunnel. And then we also did the submarine cables. In this next six-month period, we don't anticipate doing any more ROV. We'll talk about that a little bit later, too. But just in general terms, there's a section of the undersea cables that comes from the shoreline and out, was it 60 feet or such around there that they weren't able to get with the ROV that they had in the boat, and the turbidity of the water didn't allow that. So that'll be moved into probably early next year, potentially, that we'll look at that. I want to look at that one shore section before we make any decisions on what we did the ROV swim on earlier. We might look at the near shore stuff and see that there's a fatal flaw there. So then it would, then rather than trying to clean the cable or do something different on the existing submarine cables, we may just decide to replace the whole thing and forego that cost. The other way around, we might go and look at the near shore stuff and say, hey, this stuff looks great, and then maybe we'll go do some remediation on the deeper stuff. The next recommendation on that, and Clay will talk about this a little bit later, you know, they were suggesting some sites, scan sonar and stuff, to look at that a little bit closer and positioning and things like that.
Yeah, $360,000 below budget's pretty admirable.
Well, it was just a one-time, I mean, it was like $250 to do the intake, and I don't know, half a million for the sub cable. So, So that's why you see a big change there.
Okay. So Trey, on debris removal, are we taking that ashore and tying it off, or are we actually picking it out of the lake at this time?
So right now we're not doing anything because the lake's so low.
Yeah.
And you know, we've talked about this quite a bit, Ed and I, and that's going to be a challenge. We expect that to be a challenge when reservoir levels restore, because then we'll be getting up into the zone where we did the lake raise, and those trees still exist there, and they'll eventually be sloughing off into the water, and we'll have to do some debris removal there. I think it's going to be a little combination of both. I think the larger stuff that we can capture, or maybe then reposition upstream of the barriers that we've got, then we'll look to drag that up lake and then drag it up on. There's a flatter spot up there that we could potentially drag it up on and either burn it or dispose of it or tie it off or handle it in some way. There'll still be some, I think, right around right around the dam that we'll pull out and then dispose of in a different way. Right now, we don't have much money in here in that area, but I think we can certainly anticipate in the future we're going to have some expenditures to deal with that. That was kind of the trade-off of trying to go in and cut it all down and remove it because there's a significant cost there. And this way, it'll be I think it'll just be done over the period of time. Huh?
And it'll be a ever lasting project. There's about an acre.
You might use your mic here, Ed. If you don't mind, I'll have Ed just speak to this for a second.
There's about an acre of land that's on the far shore of Swan Lake, and the plan is to everything that stays out in the lake that will capture that, take it up, or we're going to put in a hydraulic winch, just a single drum winch, and we'll just deck logs up on that flat and then bucket and burn it on that site. And then anything that gets past the secondary boom, we'll move that back out of that, in between the secondary and the primary. And anything that gets past the primary, we'll pull out and we'll deal with that at our lay down site on the downstream side of the dam.
So presently, if we have to take anything out of the inside of the boom, we'll use the excavator or something like that.
Yep.
Is that the ideal situation? I know at one time you used to have a small boom truck crane out there to do that, and I don't.
I think that it's going to be adequate because the majority is going to stay outside of the booms.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I until we get into it, it's really it's not worth putting any investment into here yet. Yeah.
Thank you.
Andy's got it.
Andy.
Yeah, I'm saying on the topic of
microphone.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
On the topic of debris removal, I was just curious, any interest in a brushing attachment for the excavator?
It's not been discussed.
Not been discussed?
No.
Okay. Is any interest?
Possibly.
All right. I just put it out there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other questions on 543? Okay. So that brings us to 544, and this has the labor in it for both Swan Lake and Tyee. And you'll see that we've divided up the FTEs a little bit unevenly, and the reason for that is that we anticipate the roving relief is going to be based out of Swan Lake. And so we think that a little bit more of his time is going to go towards Swan Lake, and then we may end up covering some of the gaps on the north end with the brushing foreman possibly, while we're doing some training and move them and kind of cover that. We're going to have, if you just think about the amount of vacation these guys get, and I think the roving relief is, he's going to be busy full-time just covering vacations. And then there's going to be times where you're going to want to have maybe, you know, one guy off at each plant even, and you're going to have to try to manage that, especially like through holidays and stuff like that. So that's why you just see a little bit of difference there. Any questions on 544? Okay. 545, facility miscellaneous maintenance. This one's pretty straightforward. And, you know, we continue to, and I'll just touch on for a second here on my philosophy on budgeting. I know some places budget, and you know, they get to the end of the year and say, "All right, we got to spend all this, or we're going to lose it." I don't budget that way. I never have. I never believed in that philosophy. And I think we've held pretty true. We budget what we think we're going to spend. And if at the end of the year we have money left over, we don't go do a rush on it and try to spend it. We don't operate that way. We don't spend it. And then the next year we reassess that and say, well, do we need to lower that particular funding? Or maybe we need to raise it because we have additional things going on in that area. So we try very hard to polish the budget every year to what we think is really going to happen, and not have some arbitrary number. And I think the board supported that over the years very well, as our budget's gone up and down, because you know our work goes up and down, and we'll continue to do that. So that also ties into a little bit of these swings you see in specific areas. We'll be, you know, I mean, we'll get down into the minutiae. Well, are we going to have to do something a little out of this project or this project that's going to fall under expense? We're going to bump it up. So, any questions on 545? Okay, 561. Control system maintenance. This is pretty straight up. Just a you know, software update, licensing, and some control system maintenance that we get from our control systems contractor. Any questions there?
Who is our control system contractor?
So we use Segrity and we use EPS for most of that stuff. I think Lisa had a question.
Lisa.
Mr. Chair, Trey or Kay, this is one of those line items where the forecasted amount you're anticipating expending by the end of the year is significantly less than what was budgeted in 19. What's the gap there?
You have that, Kay.
I would have to...
And it not, you don't have to tell me right now, but if just, yeah, I where can, some of these big
I'll
anomalies
take a look.
Are.
I've got the last year's okay. budget, and I think that there were some line items in there.
Some one-time expense stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I usually have my old budget with me, and I didn't bring it this time.
I just am wondering if this is one of those areas where you guys cut back specifically because of concern out of less revenue, and so you made a conscious effort to reduce expenditures here because the difference of the in the FY19 budget is, what is that, $80,000 if I'm doing my math.
We'll get you that answer here shortly. Good question, though.
Is this, I know at one point we were thinking with the transition and then having the different systems and what KPU has for SCADA, is there a plan to put more data points in what we're presently using in regards to STIC?
Robert, you want to speak to that?
So, Mr. Chair, one of the documents that we have as a part of the O&M transition, just one link to CEBA, is to identify points at from KPU and points from CEBA that we would share SCADA points. To do that, we have a couple options. We could use existing equipment. But it really is going to be about that cybersecurity stuff we talked about and how to get that information to each other securely. So think I indicated you've already been working on that. As far as our full HMI system, we do have a project, an R&R project that Trey will go over, and I'll go over. That just discusses our entire HMI system, and it has to do with sticks, our HMI system and our historians. We had two R&R projects last year that, and we'll get to that topic, but yes, we're absolutely addressing that this next year.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chair, if I can, for circling back to Lisa's question there, so the, there's two areas that the significant underspend one was the historian updates that Rob was referring to. We've moved those into an R&R project now because our thresholds changed.
Okay.
And the timing as well. And then the control system maintenance costs were significantly lower for that period of time.
Thank you. We very much appreciate it.
Yeah. Stop us anytime. We'll dig it up. It might take just a second to get to the answer, but we'll get there for you. Any other questions, Mr. Chair, on that area?
No, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to 562. Transmission operations, station expense. Not a lot of expenditures there. One-time expense for transformer testing at Swan Lake and Bailey substations. That's scheduled to take place in Wrangell and Petersburg in 2020. Any questions there? Yeah, Rob?
Mr. Chair, I just want to make note on the scheduling of FY 2019 versus 2020. It's the way we have scheduled that for the 5-year intervals, because you don't want to have a full system outage every year. So you'll do Swan Lake every 1 year, and then you'll do Tidy Lake the next year. So just so everybody's aware of why we keep saying Tidy is scheduled for 2020. It's just how it works out in the maintenance program, and it makes the most sense for bringing in external contractors and having them do work across a wide range of geographic areas.
So it's kind of more of a footnote, just as a reminder for us internally that, hey, it's going to happen in this community this year, and it's going to happen in the next community the next year. That's half the reason why we put that on there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. That takes us to 564. This is another one, Cliff, that there's a big change in there because we did this was the other ROV in this particular one. So that was a big chunk there. Pretty much not much there to talk about unless anybody has any question.
Don't spend so much.
Yeah, well, we're not this year. I hate to say it, but maybe down the road it might be more. That could very well be, especially if we have to go in and clean some cables.
Now we have to reserves.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to 571. The transmission maintenance overhead, and you can see all this is aligned under the new column, so we capture all these costs for tracking purposes. And this is one of the areas that we spend quite a bit of money. Most of it's under identified and solidified in a contract with our line guys. So, and you also find in here the brushing wages fall under this category as well. And we have we still have one full-time brushing foreman and a half-time temporary brusher. And I guess I'll just pause here for a second and talk about this. We've talked about trying to minimize our risk and exposure in the field a little bit. And let's face it, we have 175 miles of transmission line and, one and a half guys here clearing on it. So the larger swaths of clearing, over the past few years, we've identified those areas that are growing faster and closer to the lines and have targeted those. Clay's been working on putting together, I'll say a little bit more of a refined line clearing program. And you know, clearly identifying what sections of line are next in queue, you know, documenting when each section was cleared, you know, and forecasting when the next sections will be required to clear. It's a little bit of a challenge, obviously, but we've talked about ways about possibly flying the line and documenting each section just to start that database, but it'll help us with our planning quite a bit and budgeting for line clearing. Those are usually big, large chunks of money. You know, we'll do, you know, spend $250,000 on a few sections to clear there and another couple hundred grand over there, so it can easily be $500,000 a year. But when I tell that to other folks outside, oh, you guys are getting off cheap. So, I mean, it's an important aspect of our reliability. So I think we still need to be very proactive in it, and we'll continue to do so. But back to the our employees in these particular positions, we're still maintaining this, having a brushing foreman and a halftime guy, so they'll do some clearing in the summer months, or, you know, in the nicer months, primarily. What we're finding also is the helipads, they're getting grown in pretty fast. That stuff grows really fast under them, and we've got to get out and hit those. We also use our brushing crew to cut lines in for that year's maintenance. So when the big crews come in that are all mowed up and ready to go, they can get right to work. So I think there's still some efficiencies using them on specific areas. And then the challenge is, what do you do with the foreman there the other 6 months where he doesn't have a partner to work with out in the field? And that kind of spills over to potential cross-training out at Tyee and filling in for vacations and utilizing that person for other odds and ends. And so we're still working through that a little bit, trying to figure out what's going to, how we can best utilize that position. Right, we're still keeping the guys busy, but I think we're still refining that. If we can use that position to hopefully train up in the plant, you know, if they don't come in with an expertise as a certified electrician or mechanic or something, you're not going to be able to train them to that level, but you can train them on plant fundamentals and operations and things like that. So I just want to let the board know that we're still kind of going down that road and trying to see how we can best utilize that position. They're not cheap, you know, either way you do it, whether you're contracting it or you got them on staff. The nice thing about staff, you know, you can use them on these little odd jobs, and you don't have to worry so much about the expense of the mob and demob out of another town, a major town.
So, Trey, when we have a contractor online, does the brushing crew foreman kind of help manage that group or follow any of that?
No. Clay would typically, operations manager would manage that contractor, and they'd work independent.
Okay.
Any questions on this for particular 571? Okay. Moving on to 920, administrative expense. And we currently have seven FTEs, and they're listed at the bottom. And as previously communicated, this does not include any wage increases reflected in the current figures.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I move that we increase the FERC code number 920000 in the amount of $27,609.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Anybody want to speak to it?
I'll mention one thing, Mr. Chair, that would be applied to 921.
I think that's 920-1800.
I can't see it there. Did I get that right?
Yeah, but I don't think the numbers are going to match the budget.
So just so you know, it would actually go under line item A under administrative. That's where we'll make the addition. And it'll actually roll up into the total. It's 920000. I don't think we need to necessarily adjust the motion. I just wanted to let you know that was the finite, more granular.
Understood.
Okay.
Everybody understand the motion? Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Coos?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Von Bargen?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes.
Thank you.
So with that motion, there's an amendment that will be going into effect for 920000 and item A for administrative staff. Any other comments? Thank you. Go ahead, Trey.
Okay, moving on to 921, office expense. So this one does have a one-time expense item, and I think we've already kind of introduced this concept to the board earlier, and that has to do with an upgrade to our accounting software. And Kay's been doing a lot of investigation trying to figure out, you know, what works best with our system. You know, there's, as you all know, because you're in business, there's the full realm. You can get the whole shop, you know,
yeah,
or you can have a kind of a smaller scale down model. And right now we're reviewing the different attributes of a couple of those systems, trying to figure out if it makes more sense to upgrade our current system, you know, and then sometimes you'll have to pull in a particular module such as payroll or something else into your existing system to supplement it. And so we're still trying to refine that. And I'll let Kay speak to this for a minute or so if you want to give them a little bit more detail.
So we're really looking at QuickBooks Enterprise, which would have a fixed asset module in it that we don't have right now. So right now the fixed assets are, and all the depreciation and everything is being done in a spreadsheet. There's always some things that are lacking with QuickBooks, though, it's just the nature of that software. And then we're looking at Sage Intacct, which would be a cloud-based software, and it has different modules, so we'd have to have a different payroll module. It does have job costing, so you'd have your fixed assets with your R&R budgets. Everything just goes in there, and once you capitalize it, it automatically do all the depreciation and switch it all over. And it's just a matter of going through these different modules and going like, but how does that work and how will it work for us? And then there's a cost component to it also. But it's pretty much down to one of those two.
Okay. And so how would you adapt? Go ahead,
Lisa. Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
So how would you evaluate those? How are you going to process through those? Is there a seminar, vendors, whatever?
I've also been speaking with Joy Merritt.